In the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 12, we're going to be turning there, I hope. Hope you got your Bible with you. If not, there's one in front of you in the chair in front of you, or one underneath your chair. Probably easier to get to that one right there. We're going to go down to verse 28. I think I want to start there, verse 28, here in just a moment. Yesterday was a very moving day. I think it was the culmination of all the week. Somebody said, well, I can't believe that Ethan and Mary Grace were so calm. I said, well, they're worn out. By the time they got to this part, you know, they didn't have any energy left to do anything. So now they were excited. And I meant it when I heard Mary Grace, she was going, come on, Uncle Jim, we got to go. I thought, women just don't do that. I'm sorry. She did, you know. They always want you to hang on, drag it out, you know, make it as long as you can be. Guys are going, let's go, you know. But it was the other way around. So Mary Grace was ready to go and get this thing going here. I want to talk to you this morning in such a way that I want you to pay attention to this because I'm not asking you to do anything today, okay? And I know that's probably a shock to many of you. But I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm not asking you to produce anything. So we've eliminated a few things right there. In fact, in one regards, I'm probably not asking you to believe anything in what I've got to offer you today. Because I really truly believe my goal is to touch something that you already possess. It's something that is within you. It's something that God has placed within you. It's your possession. Even though sometimes we don't acknowledge that. But if I am as successful in what I'm trying to get in the Spirit of God is speaking to you, the way that I pray that He will be speaking to every one of you on an individual basis. It's not a blanketed deal. This is something that we need to respond to. I believe the doing. I believe that the producing. I believe that all the believing will take place. It will do exactly what the Spirit of God wants it to do. So I want to touch on something that we saw a little bit of yesterday. Your emotions. Now I held it. I actually did. I mean, there were a couple times that I really felt like I could cry. I mean, if you'd have seen that beautiful bride coming up that aisle, I mean, there was moments. That I just said, you can't get that out of your head. You know, I got to do this. I can't start crying because there was enough people out there crying. You know, that's exactly. And I didn't look at them either. I turned my head away. I wasn't going to do it. But I want to touch on something this morning that all of us have, and that's our emotions. They're explained different ways we do it. And they're feelings, the Word of God says, that lie deep within. And sometimes we never, ever reach down to those feelings. The feelings that God has given us. Things that He put, makes us unique. It's like a hidden spring that it can rise up and it can bubble up and it can do all of those things. But unfortunately, like a lot of times before we had these good rains here the last month and a half, it was kind of dry. Sometimes as a kid, I used to run through the woods, and yes, I went through the woods. I did not play Game Boy. They didn't even think about Game Boy. I didn't do any of those other things that they do nowadays. What's going on now? Did I see a resurgence of Pokemon? Oh, a resurgence of Pokemon. Yeah, well, pun on Pokemon. They didn't have those kind of things when I was a kid, and I'm glad they didn't. But in the woods that we used to play in, and they ran me out of the house when I was a kid. They said, don't come back until it's dark. Couldn't imagine why, but yeah, anybody did. But there was a spring-fed creek. And it flowed with water year-round. But there were times in the summer that it got a little bit low. But the reason I think that it got lower was because of all of the leaves and all the sticks that had built up over top of that one place. And so one of the jobs I felt like it was my job, we didn't own the place, but we did, was to take those leaves and those sticks and clear out the debris, Get the debris away from it, because it was always blocking that natural spring. I believe that in our own personal lives, there are times that God has placed within us a well of living water. Isn't that what the Word says that He give to us? But there are things in our lives that clutter up the spring. There are things that really need to be removed. They need to be cleared out so they can flow. So that our souls can be seen, not only in God's presence, because God sees our souls all the time, but in the presence of each other. To be an encouragement, to show the joy that God has placed within. I'm talking about below the facade that sometimes we use, below your mask, get past that mask you want to put on, whether it's religious or whatever it might be that you want to do, but get to the place that's even beyond what you would say that I would share with an intimate friend or even family members. And what does that say? It says who you really are. Who you are deep in your heart is what counts. So now today, I would hope that we could clear away some of that. We could get some of that junk out of the way and get down to the pure water that God has placed within us. And I'm going to just simply use the term emotion. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist, even though some of you need one. But I want to talk about why I believe God gave us those emotions. He gave us so that we run unabated to Him. So that we would see who is the one that we need to spend a time with. He's the one that we need to put our hearts upon. And it also, what it does for us, it helps us respond to God. Once we get the clutter out of the way, we can respond to God the way that we should. And what did He tell about us? If you looked at in Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon was very intelligent, as we well know. But he said, out of it, meaning the heart, are the issues of life. But you got to keep it clean. You got to keep it in a place that God can use it. And He will do that. And I know that when you do that, when you can do something with all of your heart, as the Word says, wholeheartedness, when you can do that, you will find the greatest satisfaction that you've ever found. You ever done something in life that you knew that I know what I'm doing, I know this is where God wants to be, I'm going to do this, and I just felt like, wow, here it goes. And then there's other times you thought you were going to go do that, and it was kind of, yeah, well, I think I can. And I'm going to try. I'm going to give it the best. I'm going to do this. And then you know all along that, that's not God. That's not the flow that He longed for us to have in our lives. We need to have that. We need to have a flow that's not interrupted. We need to have a presence in our lives that pushes aside the preoccupation that we get ourselves on, the things that we want to do. And we need to find ourselves at the very throne of grace. We need to find ourselves where the Spirit of God can freely move upon our lives. We need to find ourselves where we can lose ourselves in Him. That's what we need to find in our lives. We need to get to a place that our emotions need to be set free. Ooh. Now, that might be scary for some people. In fact, I'm looking out on you right now, and I know I'm scaring some of you right now. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. I'm trying to tell you that to serve God the best, you need to be set free of all those things that are encumbering you in this world. That's how you get there. That's how you love Him more. That's how you do. And I know in a lot of ways that's one of the rarest experiences that you can have. Because we do a great job of hiding it. We do a great job of not just bearing ourselves completely to Him. We want to continue to wear a mask. And God says, I don't need your mask. I know you. And I still love you. We need to become unencumbered unto Him. Find the freedom that He has to do the work that He wants to do in our lives. We've got to quit playing games with God. We need to stand before Him, lay it out, just exactly who we are. If we cannot talk to Jesus that way, who can we talk to? If you're going to sit there and compare yourself to your neighbor, or some other person like that, well, I'd like to be like this. I want to be like Him. I want to be like Jesus. I mean, y'all are great, okay? I mean, many of you have a great walk with the Lord and all that, but it still doesn't compare. Nothing compares to who Christ is. Thoreau was a philosopher, but a writer, one of the great literary giants of the years and years ago. But he said that most men live lives of what? Desperate quietness. That's the kind of life they live. What is he saying? Hidden. Won't let my emotions out. Churches, traditional churches that still believe this way. In fact, I had this conversation with a lady, and she informed me that her church was from German background. I said, great, wonderful. She said, but we were told not to let anybody see us. I thought, why would you do that? Well, I didn't grow up that way. I mean, I didn't have to hide. They came out one generation removed from those that had to hide who they were in Christ. If they didn't, they would be part of the concentration camps or they'd just be killed. But when they came to America, they continued that on. That's why there are some churches that are deathly quiet, like this morning. You don't have to be quiet, okay? But that's the way they worship, in a solemn ceremony that to me would just absolutely, I'd fall asleep, as some of you have right here. One particular church, I love the church, I love the people in the church, but they have this pulpit and it sits right there. Then they got this rail, and the rail comes back about this far. They put you in a box. It's about just the width of the pulpit, a little bit wider. 4 feet back is this railing. Talk about unnerving. When I came out from around that railing down into the congregation and started preaching, I said, why do you have a rail around us? You feel the guy's going to fall over and hurt himself? No, but they just thought this is the sacred place. It's kind of like, as you know, me being out of the Methodist church. Now the Methodist church, some of them, they have a pulpit over here and a pulpit over here because they read the word over here, but they don't practice it over here. It's true. God says, I want to do something in your life that you will not have to be afraid of, but something that he and he alone can do. He'll take over your spirit. He will free your emotion. He will do everything that he said he would do. The book of Mark, I'm in the 12th chapter. At verse 28, it is the question that had been given to him by the scribes and asking about the first commandment. All right, so Jesus gives them the answer that about the first commandment. He says, and I'm verse 29, he says, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. But he, like a lot of preachers, couldn't stop right there. Jesus goes on, verse 31. And the second is simply the same way, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. We believe that, do we not? We believe that if we are going to love God with our whole hearts, we're going to love him with everything that we have in our minds, everything that he calls for right here, with all of our strength. How do you do that if you're encumbered with all the things that are going on in this world? How can you do that if the spring that he placed within our souls is blocked? It's got trash in it. You cannot. You can't serve God the way that he wants you to serve him if all of that junk is taking place. Beautiful thing about marriage. The experience of love. Don't you just love that when you see? Now, Betty, if you make any more eyes at Floyd in the middle of the service, you and I are going to have a problem here now. Floyd, just keep her in line back there. Yesterday was such to see that kind of love. That kind of love that Mary Grace was showing to Ethan and Ethan showing to her, it wasn't selfish love. It was something that they wanted to place upon each other. It was something that they wanted to give. It didn't require drugs, didn't require alcohol, didn't require anything illicit at all. It just simply said, this is the love that I have for you. And it was shared between the two of them. What was that love? It was wholeheartedness. They had put aside all the rest of that stuff, and with all their hearts, they were devoting themselves to each other. That's unselfish. Do you realize that's what God wants? Do you realize that why God made us the way that we are is that we would be unencumbered by the junk of this world and that we would love Him the way that He asked for us to love? Do we fail? Yes, we fail. I fail. I know I do. But it's never changed His love. His love is never diminished. Even though we do not respond the way He wants us to respond at times, His love is never, ever diminished. There are times that we look for moral compasses in our lives. We look to different people. We want to be that intellectual believer. In other words, we want to put on a mask that says, look at me. I said, I don't want to look at you. I want to look at Christ. I want to look at the one that didn't have to have that. I want to look to the one that lives within us that does not need us to tell people about us. I want to feel God's pulse flowing through you. When I said yesterday that I truly believe that the witness that they live and the lives that they had all the way up to this marriage was genuine. It was centered in Christ first. How many times have you said it? Because I know I've said it. Have you ever said to somebody when you see them not doing everything they need to do and you say, well, just be yourself. You ever say that? Well, you can admit it. I'm not going to smack you for it. But we say things like that. Be yourself. Well, what happens if you don't know who you are? What happens if you're not reflecting who God wants you to be? What do you do then? Don't be yourself. Be who He created in you. You are a new creature, a creation that God has made over. All right? He's taken away all that old junk and he's made something good in your life. Many people are saying, well, be yourself. Well, if you're self-deceived, is that the kind of person you want to be? If you're mistaken prone, do you want to be that person? No, none of us want to be that kind of person. We don't want to be that proud, that arrogant, the kind of people that we have been. We don't need to be defensive. And I can promise you, if the praise of God flows in your heart, you can't be solemn. No, you've got to let it out. Because if not, you'll just bust. I mean, I think you'll bust. You don't always have to be annoyingly cheerful either. There are some people that are very annoyingly cheerful. And why do I say that? Because it's not genuine. It's not flowing out of the heart of God. Do I think God brings joy? You bet I do. But I know it's a joy that you never, ever have to worry about. You never should even think twice about it. We need what He said. I look in a glass darkly, as Paul Rick said, but one day I'll see Him face to face. We need to respond to our Savior like it would be looking into a mirror, if you'll let me use that analogy. Because when you look in a mirror, you see who you really are. I love putting, of course, you know I do construction work. One of the things that I put in all the time now are the ceiling lights, but they're in daylight mode. You can look at these up here. See the ones white, and then we got these over here. You know, the soft white type deal. I would think that everybody, ladies, would want daylight. But then I met somebody that didn't want daylight. She said she didn't really want to see herself. I thought everybody wanted to really see themselves so they can correct whatever they were looking at. I thought that's the way it was supposed to be. When God's light is more clear than that, it's brighter. Ask Paul what kind of light shone upon him. It was the kind of light that said, I want you to glow just like me. I want you to be like me. I want you to do the very things that I have called you to do. You see, that is the irresistible draw that the Holy Spirit does in our lives. We need to be absolutely driven by that kind of presence. And we need to be driven to be like that. We need to have the brightness of His presence to do all those kind of things. I'm never going to say it. I work really hard at not doing this. Don't ever say, be yourself. No, be who He is. Let the world see Christ. You know, because if you say, be yourself, well, maybe you're sick of yourself. And if you're still in sin, you would be sick of yourself. Or you'd be using excuses. God does not need excuses. Find Him. Dig the trash out. Let the Spirit get this to flow once again, the way that He intended it to flow in our lives. Okay, I'm sorry. Some of you are giving me that look like you're getting beyond the limits of what I can take today. I just want to tell you that I know you were getting comfortable, but don't get comfortable. Because when the Spirit moves upon it, I want 100%. I want to see God do what He wants to do. And you can say, well, He's talking about somebody else. Okay, that's fine. I'm talking about your neighbor. I'm talking about that. And Dave Carter will be here next week. And, you know, he always says, I'm not preaching to you. I'm talking about the church down the street. Well, this is what it is. Do you love the Lord wholeheartedly? Or is He a byproduct? Do you want to serve God wholeheartedly? Do you want to be that spontaneously? Not that you work it up in some religious experience, not you come and it's a hoop and a holler and everything else and so that it gets you going. No, it should be something that is within you that's already going. Something that's already being done. That's why I always say love is best measured by spontaneity. That you don't have to work it up. It's in you. It's something. See, that's what I've been driving at today. Is that the very things. And that centers me on verse 33. Jesus made the description, the two commandments. They said this right. The scribe in verse 32 says, and he said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but Him. But this is what the scribe got out of it. And to love Him with all the heart, and all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. It's more than all of the religious words you can say. It's more than all the things you can muster up. To live for Him, to do what He says, is way more than that. It's genuineness. It's the genuineness that He placed within you. It's not going to kill you. Okay? It will not kill you. It's not something said, well, I just don't know how they might respond. Who cares how they respond? Who cares what so-and-so over here thinks? I only want to know, what does my Savior think? You ever heard the term tactful? I've heard the term. I don't practice it very often. But people do that. I mean, you know, they always say, well, you need to be more tactful, Jim. I believe in putting a tack in with a 22-ounce hammer. I want to make sure it's there. What is tactful? What would you say that term is? Tact means to touch. And most of the time when we talk about being tactful, we mean be gentle, speak lovely, do all these things. Is that the way the Spirit always does that? Or does the Spirit have to wake us up at times? I think the Spirit has to move upon us, and tactful is whatever He calls you to at that point and what He tells you to say. Too many Christians are just nothing more than superficial. You've got the kinds that come in and they're buffoons, you know. They got to take over the party. They got to do everything. They got to be big. They got to do all the kind of things that they need to do. I'm not encouraging any of that. I'm encouraging you not to be a human gusher, but I'm encouraging you to let the Spirit of God flow through you like that spring, unabated, right there, every time that the Spirit moves on you. How does he want to do that? I don't know how he does it in your life. I just know he can do it. I've never been into those people that want to come and vomit on me. Now, when children were little, I've had that on a few occasions. But those were children. But I don't expect that to be happening out of adults that have trusted Christ to save them and change them. I don't enjoy somebody to come in. Have you ever had a waiter or waitress come over and dump hot coffee on you? I guess I look for things like that. I'm sitting there. I guess I shouldn't have ordered coffee, right? Pour it right on my knee. That was a joy. Well, at least it didn't pour it down my front. I mean, I leave that up to myself to do. I do it all the time. I look for what God looks for. What is the Holy Spirit? A still, small voice. And I love to be around people that have, they don't have to say a lot, but whenever they say something, it speaks volumes. The Spirit can do whatever he chooses to do in our lives today. But we need to follow through with what Jesus said. How do you love me? You love me with everything that you have. You love me in the way only you can love me. The only way that God will produce that love. The only thing that is pleasing in God's sight. That you love me without any of the distractions that come with it. Love me with all of your heart. Love me with all of your soul. Love me with all your mind. Love me with all your strength. Simply love me. I've had plenty. Church members. And I'm not going to preach you that bad sermon. I'm going to say that I have met those that have come to church very dry. Okay? When they showed up, they're dry. And after we got done with their spirit and everything, we put our stamp on them. What were they then? A desert. They were worse by far. Face got longer. No smile. Nothing gracious about them. But they had religion. Now, I'm not pushing fanaticism. I'm just simply saying God wants to move through the freedom of what he has already placed within us. It's not something you work up. It's not something somebody has to teach you. It is something that bubbles up from inside. That's what Jesus put his emphasis on right here. It's not about your beliefs. It's not about your conduct. It's not about your theology. It's about him. We use the term emotion or your feelings or whatever. But if they are spirit-driven, they are exactly what God wants. You're to love God with all your heart. You're to love him with your souls, with your mind. And you're to love your neighbors as yourself. Yeah. So next time you mow the lawn, don't be blowing your dirty old grass on their lawn. You know, make sure you blow it back on your own lawn and clean it up yourself. But I can tell you this, love is an emotion. That's why they said God is love. But the love that he's looking for is a love that's so deep and so wondrous and so much that we need to have. But it all stems from God's love. And when it stems from God's love, it comes out to be a perfect love. It's a love that comes to us in life. It's a love that will sustain us in death. And it'll be the love that will resurrect us, just like Jesus. It is that kind of love. It makes all the difference. So maybe you struggle with your emotions. One day you're up, one day you're down. One day you're on top of the world, the next day you're not. My friends, I can tell you this. It's more than a chemical imbalance. I don't care. I'm sorry, but sometimes my body does not feel like being on top of it. But it has no reflection upon what my soul should feel like. My soul should say every day that I'm going to be honest with God and I'm going to tell him when I hurt, when things are not going the way I want them to go. I can say to him anything and everything. Why? Because I know that I'm safe with him and that he will be always honest with me. And the first thing that he says, I love you. Do you feel that's God's love today? It's within you. It's what changed your life. It's what sets you on the path to serve Him in this world. We're the ones that gets out and gets the junk on top of the spring. We're the ones that we just don't put it together. But God knows every need that we have, every fear that we have. He knows our secrets. He knows everything. And we ought to know we need His strength, because that's the source that He will feed us from. I need His strength. I need His love. I need the outflowing of His presence. I need His comfort. I need His assurance. And He says, I have never, ever withheld any of those things from you. So what kind of life do you have? That's your only question that you have to answer. What is it that God wants to do? I think we're a mixed bag. I really do. I think some days we're one way, some days the other way. But it happens to be every one of us, preachers included. But what God said, I want to give you this. It's not about you trying harder. It's about Him living through you. And when He lives through you, that love will be seen. And it will be everything that you need. I think Mary Grace and Ethan, I think they were tired. I think they're ready for this wedding to take place. I really do. But I also think that watching other people that want to act like they're under control and everything is in line, I want to say that's only manufactured for a moment. But when the love of Christ and the love that they had for each other, it brought a calmness to their presence. And when God's love is alive and well in us, our emotions, our feelings, whatever you want to call it, will be exactly where God wants it to be. And there'll be that day when we're going to raise hands and we're going to shout the victory and we can say amen. We might even run the aisle. That's scary, isn't it? We can wave a hanky. We can say the things that God wants us to be, because that's His freedom. And when you get to that point, you won't care what people think. You'll just be who God wants you to be. And that is the most blessed experience that you possibly can have. Let the giver of every perfect gift be alive in you. And when He is, I promise you, you won't worry. You won't worry about what anybody thinks about you. You'll just simply be in one with Christ. And you will do exactly what God wants you to do. I hope that's rejoicing. If you get anything, let the Spirit of God guide your life today. Let Him show you exactly who you are and what He wants to be in you. Unclog the spring, people. Let it bubble up. We want to see it. We need it. Every one of us needs that. We need it in our church. We need it in our fellowship. We need the unabated flow of Jesus Christ that His Spirit gave to us. Flow out around every one of us. Let it flow. Okay? Let's pray.